National Guard, we need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lex is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm there.
Yo. Welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Joseph Ward, coming straight from the side, going down right here, audio shop talk right in your ear hole right here on the Freedom Train Network, www.freedomtrainradio.com. How we get it in to keep it in the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life. I felt that intro. I felt those notes. I felt that. How you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice. Already. Know what I'm saying? I'm going to be performing at Carnegie Hall. But really, I have a 5 gas station tour lined up around the United States. So I'll let you know what cities and what states and what gas stations and what day and time I'll be performing in. All high-quality gas stations. So make sure you follow me and keep up. We're on social media at Twitter, at JoeWard84. You can get at me directly or Freedom Train. If you want to get with the Freedom Train, at Freedom Train Net on Twitter, Instagram, Freedom Train Network, Facebook, Freedom Train Network, YouTube, Freedom Train Network, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Freedom Train Network. And once again, our website, www.freedomtrainradio.com. Going down. All right, so today, what we talking about today, our HBCU spotlight. Hold on. I'm skipping. The Fix, remember, The Fix is brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. I'm tripping. So On the Shoulders of Giants brings you African history at your fingertips and on the go. And they do that through the African History book series, the blog series, the YouTube channel, the nonprofit organization, the African History Curriculum app, as well as educational classes, lectures, keynote speakings, all those things brought to you by On the Shoulders of Giants. Remember, you can get your copies of the On the Shoulders of Giants books at www.ontheshouldersone.com, On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 1 North America, and On the Shoulders of Giants Volume 2 Central America, which profile the stories and the biographies of the sung and unsung heroes of the African diaspora, representing those specific regions. And Volume 3, South America, is being written now. 7 more chapters to go. It's going to be so live. Volume 3 is a bestseller. I'm putting that in the atmosphere right now. On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America, is a bestseller. And I'll go ahead and I thank you all right now for your support, for helping On the Shoulders of Giants, Volume 3, South America, become a best-selling book. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now, put out in the atmosphere. I thank you all for your support and helping to make Volume 3, South America, a best-selling book. Already! All right, so here go our lineup of what we're talking about today. Our HBCU spotlight is shined on Alabama State's Desiree Horn for being named the 2018 SWAC Woman of the Year. Our HBCU news is Kayvon Thibodeau, who is rated as the number one high school football player in the nation, is hinting at maybe playing at Florida A&M University. We're going to talk about the Carmelo Anthony trade. University of North Carolina, their football team self-reports their NCAA violation. Our off-topic shit, because you know it is Monday, so our off-topic shit is, we're going to look into the Azalea Banks Nick Cannon wilding out situation where she claimed that they was mean to her and talking about her skin complexion and all that. She went on wilding out where you crack jokes and talk about people. So Charles Oakley was arrested. It's an older story, but I'm getting to it. I'm getting to the details of that. I'll talk about former NFL running back Thomas Jones, who is now the actor Thomas Q. Jones, has landed a role on Luke Cage. So we're going to talk about that. And Thomas Jones was a baller. The LeBron murals in L.A. keep getting defaced by crazy-ass motherfuckers. So we're going to talk about that. And our weekly rant is going to be at the Miami Dolphins for what they're trying to do with the anthem protest and trying to punish people for anthem protests and all these things. So we're going to get on some people's asses. Get on up on the right side. Hey. All right, so Alabama State's Desiree Horn was named SWAC Woman of the Year. All right, Alabama State track and field standout Desiree Horn has been named the Southwestern Athletic Conference 2018 Woman of the Year. Horn, who graduated magna cum laude from Alabama State University earlier this year, was a vital member of what is currently one of the most dominating runs of success by a single program, regardless of sport and conference history. And, hey, let me say, magna cum laude, I ain't get good grades in school. I called it magnum cum laude, and it's magna cum laude. So, yeah, I ain't even come close to it. And what they saw the old black folks say, I graduated. Thank you, Lordy. Yeah. School wasn't good to me. So, the SWAT Woman of the Year selected by lead committee members using the metric scoring defining the guidelines and specific criteria during the candidate review. The selection process includes a review of student athlete services and leadership, academic achievement, athletic assessment, and personal statement. Candidates nominated must have a minimum of a 2.5 GPA and participate in one of the number of institution-sponsored sports. With her selection as SWAC Woman of the Year, Horn was also league's nominee for NCAA Woman of the Year. The Houston, Texas native garnered all-conference honors 11 times during her stint with the Lady Hornets track and field program, competing in the long jump, 100-meter dash, 60-meter dash, and 4x100-meter relays. She qualified for the NCAA East Preliminary Regionals in each of her 4 years as well. She was part of 8 conference championship-winning teams and most recently concluded her collegiate career with an appearance in the NCAA in 2018 NCAA Outdoor Track and Field Championship, during which the Lady Hornets 4x1-meter relay team finished 20th in the nation. Away from track, Horn was one of the SWAC's most active student athletes with her community service. She volunteered for multiple hours at the Kaboom Playground, Toys for Tots Salvation Army, Tyson Manor Health Facility, American Red Cross, the Learning Tree, and the Children's Center. The epitome of a true scholar athlete, Horn was a 4-time member of the Dean's List, a 2016 inductee into PsyCHI, the International Honor Society in Psychology, and was a psychology club member. I graduated in psychology. I didn't know that club existed. The NCAA Woman of the Year program honors the academic achievement, athletic excellence, community service, and leadership of graduating female college athletes from all 3 divisions. To be eligible, a nominee must have competed and earned a varsity letter in an NCAA-sponsored sport, must have completed eligibility in their primary sport, and must have earned her undergraduate degree by summer 2018. This year marks the 28th year of the NCAA Woman of the Year, with 581 nominees this year, the most ever in the history of the award. Honorees this season make up 20 different NCAA sports and 170 multi-sport athletes recognized, including 109 two-sport athletes. There are 4 pillars for the NCAA Woman of the Year Award: academics, athletic service, and leadership. And Desiree Horn got all of that. Go Desiree, it's your birthday. Not Philly, but it's just gonna sit because it rhymes with your name. Hey, but you all know how we do, how we get down, and how we show some love. So from the Fix Sports Podcast and the Free to Train Network, all the way to Alabama State and Desiree Horn, we want to give you a roaring round of applause. Oh, Desiree, your last name Horn, the name the SWAC coming up, yeah. And you were live from the day you were born. So there's a day. So there's a day. There's a Ray, say go. There's a Ray. Yeah. All right. So one time for Desiree Horn for being named the SWAT Woman of the Year for 2018. And if you don't know, now you know. Glory, glory. All right, so HBCU News, right? HBCU News. The best high school football player in the country hints about considering an HBCU specifically Florida A&M. He specifically mentioned Florida A&M. So does he mean it? The best high school football player in the country fired the social media shot across the bow by suggesting that he could possibly consider playing for an HBCU instead of a Power 5 school, Florida A&M. I just want to say that again, Florida A&M. Kayvon Thibodeau is his name. Remember that name. It's going to be hard to forget. Kayvon Thibodeau, the five-star defensive end from Thousand Oaks, California, revealed in June that Alabama, Florida State, Oregon, and USC were among the schools he was choosing between. Boy, you better go to either Alabama or Florida State. But Thibodeau also added one other school to the list, Florida Agricultural and Mechanical University. Reddit. And this is his tweet. How crazy would it be if the top athletes started going to HBCUs? Hallelujah! Oh, hallelujah! That's the mindset we need. Hallelujah! Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I said, how would it look if an HBCU did not make my top five, but I ended up at one? Amen. I'm just saying, bro. I'm just saying. Thibodeau says he plans to visit FAMU soon, which has created a stir on Twitter. FAMU fans went so far as to create a hashtag, Kayvon to FAMU, in an effort to entice his services. Come on down to the hill, my brother. I take it to Leola's and Olean's. It's on me. Come on down, my brother. At only 17, all right, so we can't go to the club, but you big as hell for a 17-year-old, though. But okay. At only 17, Thibodeau, just by making such a public tease, places himself in uncharted territory from a historical perspective. Engaging in hope trafficking to a subset of college football fans that have been starving for legitimacy from athletes like Thibodeau since full-blown integration within intercollegiate athletics come about half a century ago. Thibodeau's tweets arrived more than 25 years after Chris Webber, the consensus high school basketball player in the country, was asked to consider playing at an HBCU before ultimately signing with Michigan in 91 out of the country day school in suburban Detroit. A lot of people put pressure on me to go to an HBCU, like, come on, Chris, you can change it around. You can change it around, Ribbon said, as chronicled in the book, $40 Million Slaves. I got to get that book. But I think that process has to start within the Black College Association, he continued. Playing on BET is not good enough for me. Well, we know Chris Webber. We know what Chris Webber is. But forget Chris Webber. And the prevailing perception, among other things, has prevented HBCUs over the years from effectively winning the expensive arms race in high stakes recruiting. There was a fear of being forgotten. There's a concern of losing out on television exposure and social and public acclaim. But I keep telling y'all, the cameras gonna follow the talent. The cameras follow the talent. NBA lottery pick Dennis Smith Jr. wore a sweater that read HBCUs matter, even though he chose to play college basketball at North Carolina State University over Duke, Kentucky, Louisville, North Carolina, and Wake Forest. The symbolic act of solidarity caused a debate among those who supported the gesture under who criticized the fashion statement for its hypocrisy. Will Thibodeau do more than just give lip service about the importance of HBCU like Webber did 30 years ago? Or will he be like every other blue-chip athlete and marry themselves to blue bloods while stringing HBCU supporters along the process for likes and retweets? Now, you know me. I've been saying for a while that we need these top talented players to be at HBCUs. We do. It's a two-way street. It's a three-way street. It's the players, well, the four-way street. The players' family, the schools, and the community, right? And all four components need to be working together to get these top talent in football, baseball, basketball, track, all these back to HBCUs. And the mindset right now is we need to make it to the professional levels. So which means is we need to be able to create systems for ourselves and stop acting like we can't, but create systems for ourselves where we can harness our talent and be able to funnel our talent within our community and keep it within our community as far as economic gain. And they get what they want, we get what we want. We are able to create leagues that our players can thrive in, and from that revenue, our community is able to thrive. But we do have to start getting better players and more players at these HBCUs, these top schools. If we can get that, that would change a lot. Kayvon Thibodeau. If you don't go to FAMU, you know, I ain't gonna be mad, but you know, it's your choice to choose where you want to go. But don't string the people along. I will agree with that. Don't play around. Don't just be saying stuff just for likes and retweets. Like, we will let your ass have it for that if that's what you're doing. But if you legitimately want to go to an HBCU, I think that's great. I think that could be the start of something. And if he legitimately comes to FAMU, remember FAMU is under a new regime under the head coach Willie Simmons, Willie Shotgun Ray Simmons, who played college football at Clemson and was Willie Simmons was the best quarterback that I've seen to come from around this area. I will say that. He's the best quarterback that I've seen to come from around, like real quarterback. Like Willie Simmons was a real quarterback, and apparently Willie Simmons has developed himself into a real coach. So that's how he's now the head coach at FAMU. So the situation is different. Is the administration and all those other things different? We don't know yet. As far as athletic wise and, you know, getting a athletic director and all those things. But Kayvon, come on to the hill though, bro. Because that would be nice to be able to get the top talent at HBCUs and watch these white schools start to fall and then watch the cameras follow the talent. I keep telling y'all, the cameras will follow the talent. If the top 10 college players all decide to go to the same HBCU, the cameras will follow the talent. And just pull a page out of LeVar Ball's book. You see how LeVar Ball created his own lane? Hell, do that. But don't be bullshitting, Kayvon. I'll crack on your ass. You be bullshitting, but don't be bullshitting. But if you do come to FAMU, that'd be a good look. That'd be a nice look. Hopefully that'll lead to a nice snowball effect to getting more of the top collegiate players from all sports to go to HBCUs. And the reason they're not going to HBCUs is because they don't feel like they have a chance to compete at the highest level and go to the next level. So it's on us as a community, as a whole, parents, players, school, and community that surround the school, the city, the black people who support it, to all be working together to make the situation better so players can come to our schools and thrive. Hallelujah! All right, so let's talk about Oklahoma City, Carmelo Anthony, and him being traded to the Atlanta Hawks for Dennis Schroeder and Mike Muscala. So the Oklahoma City Thunder have agreed to trade for Carmelo Anthony to the Atlanta Hawks, where he will become a free agent once he's waived. The Houston Rockets are the front runners to sign Anthony, who also is considering the Miami Heat. Along with Anthony and his $27.9 million expiring contract, the Thunder will send a 2022 protected first-round pick to the Hawks for guard Dennis Schroeder and forward Mike Muscala. The 2022 first-round pick is protected 1-14 and becomes two second-round picks if not conveyed in that final year, lead sources said. I have no idea what the fuck that means. The Thunder will send Muscala to the 76ers for forward Timothy Luau Cabaret, and Philadelphia will send guard Justin Anderson to Atlanta, league sources said. Schroeder comes to the Thunder for a desired need, another fast playmaking point guard for the revved up bench behind all-star guard Russell Westbrook. OKC general manager Sam Presti and coach Billy Donovan were given permission to speak with Schroeder before the agreement, and the three of them discussed his role with Oklahoma City. Thou shalt! No, I'm just playing. Ain't nobody said that. I'm just playing. The Thunder could have saved $107 million with the waive and stretch provision on Anthony's $27.9 million contract, but hunted a trade that allows them to save slightly less money and improve the roster. The stretch provision would have added $9 million plus per year to the Thunder payroll for the next 3 years, dead money that could not be moved off the cap. Thunder's projected luxury tax bill, meanwhile, will drop from $150 million to $88.8 million, saving them more than $61 million. The Thunder will save an additional $11 million with Schroeder's $15.5 million contract and the $1.5 million cap hit of Luau Cabaret. The Thunder's payroll will stand at $148.7 million after the Anthony and Muscala deals. Schroeder has 3 years at $15.5 million annually left on this deal, which makes it really worth $5 million per year to the Thunder because they would have had to pay $9 million of that over the next 3 seasons for Anthony. In essence, Oklahoma City is paying $5 million in each of the next 3 seasons for a 24-year-old point guard who has started 161 games and 5 NBA seasons. The Hawks were motivated to move Schroeder after acquiring Trae Young from the Dallas with the 5th overall pick last month and then trading with the Brooklyn Nets for veteran point guard Jeremy Lin. What the fuck are the Hawks doing? Anthony was acquired from the New York Knicks before training camp opened last season and waived his no-trade clause. He accepted a new role with OKC that featured changing positions from small forward to power forward. It took time for Anthony to adapt, but he never completely got comfortable playing as a catch-and-shoot stretch four. It came to a head during the Thunder's postseason series against the Utah Jazz, with Anthony's role being reduced throughout the series. In Game 6, Anthony played under 26 minutes, including just 3 in the fourth quarter. Anthony averaged 11.8 points in the series, shooting just 37.5 from the field and 21.4 from three-point range. While Anthony expressed frustration with his role after the season, the Thunder had anticipated that he would opt out at the final year of his contract, always viewing the trade with the Knicks as a two-year deal. So Carmelo is traded to the Hawks, and he's going to be cut, and everybody's expecting him to go to the Houston Rockets. And the question is, what type of player will Melo be for the Rockets? Will Melo come off the bench? Will he be a star? If he is a star, what kind of player would he be? Because now you have Harden and Melo on the court at the same time, and neither one of them play defense. I think Melo could be an asset coming off the bench, I think Melo could be an asset coming off the bench for Houston. If we get Olympic Melo, the Olympics Melo, if they get Olympics Melo, they straight. But if they get regular NBA last couple seasons Melo, then they ain't talking about nothing. I'm just being real. I'm a Carmelo Anthony fan. I've been riding with Carmelo and rocking with Carmelo since Syracuse. But Melo has to make a commitment to giving his best on both ends, offense, defense, crashing the boards. He has to make a commitment. And if he does, Melo will be straight. If he don't, Melo gonna always have this perception of him and he'll never be looked at as the same. Because, you know, like we said, in the same draft class as him, with Bosh, Wade, and James, and look at them, they have rings, he don't. So Bosh, Wade, and James, especially Wade and Bosh, made decisions that Carmelo was not willing to make to win championships that didn't tarnish or diminish their legacies. All four gentlemen are Hall of Famers. But it's like LeBron and Carmelo are on two different tiers of the Hall of Fame. All Carmelo is a Hall of Famer. Anybody who tries to say Carmelo ain't no Hall of Famer, y'all crazy. But I want Carmelo to win a ring. I want Carmelo to drop his nuts and give us one of them old school seasons with more defense. That's just what I want. I just really want that from Carmelo. Because right now, Carmelo, it looks like you got maybe one or two seasons left in you, even as a bench player. I think you will be a righteous sixth man. I do. If you want to be a starter, I think you need to commit yourself more all around to basketball. I think you need to commit yourself more to being better in better shape, better condition, so you can remind these folks of who you is. Because remember when you took Syracuse to the championship, like you single-handedly took Syracuse to the championship. Remember that? Back in 2002? When you just straight dominated the NCAA? Remember that? I mean, 2002, 2003, remember that? Remember you did that? Yeah. You get in shape, man. You get your body right. You make the commitment to defense and all that. Carmelo, man, I think you make a hell of an impact in Houston. That's what I believe. All right, so let's move on. So the University of North Carolina self-reports NCAA violations that the football players are found to have sold team-related items. Okay. North Carolina's bad football day got worse late Wednesday when the team announced that it had self-reported violations to the NCAA in February. I want some boiled peanuts. That's a random thought, but I want some boiled peanuts. The news followed on the heels of head coach Larry Fedora's CTE denial rant about football being under attack while linking the game to U.S. military superiority. We all know CTE is related, but players in trouble for selling shoes. The reported violations stem from players allegedly selling team-issued athletic shoes and gear and could lead to suspensions for the players involved. Players were not named in the report. UNC Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham discussed the violations on Twitter. He says, and this is going to be my Bubba. I'm Bubba Cunningham. I'm the athletic director of University of North Carolina in Chapel Hill. When we became aware of a situation within the football program, we self-reported what the NCAA deemed to be a secondary violation. I worked closely with Chancellor Folt and Coach Fedora to address this issue from an NCAA university and Department of Athletics perspective, and we have taken appropriate disciplinary action. We have high expectations of all of our students, coaches, and staff, and we expect everyone to abide by and embrace team and NCAA rules. We are disappointed when we fall short, and we always strive to get better. Bubba Cunningham of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Yeah. So while Wednesday's afternoon news isn't as troubling or salacious as Fedora's bizarre press conference, it's another black eye for the program that has been in the spotlight for the wrong reasons in recent years. School fired head coach Butch Davis in 2011 amid an improper benefits investigation that ultimately blew the lid off the academics fraud scandal that made headlines out of Chapel Hill for years. I remember that. They've been suffering for that for a while. So they self-reported NCAA violations of players selling paraphernalia. allow those players a chance to earn, and you wouldn't have this situation. The NCAA create this situation because of the way they do it. They create it like it's a sharecropping. It's like a sharecropping system. They give you pennies off of what they make off of you. Or you benefited pennies off of what they make off of you. And the argument is, well, they get a $40,000 Education, though, they get a $400,000 education, yeah, but they make tens of millions of dollars here. The fucking coaches get paid $7 million motherfucking dollars, $10 million a year, just a motherfucking coach. College football is a $1 billion industry, and we need to stop offering our players and our children, especially in the black community, offering our players and our children up for the sacrifice. Shit, I'm going to go ahead to buy the book, $40 million slave, and we're going to have to start having reading times and excerpts from that. We just need to stop offering our players. That's why they keep having these situations and get caught up in things like this. But they're trying to earn and make money and live and survive off of the bullshit that they get from fuck ass stipends and all that shit that they give them players when they are bringing the school tens of millions and hundreds of millions and billions of dollars. These schools get millions and tens of millions of dollars and maybe hundreds of million dollars a year from these sports, annually from these sports. NCAA get billions of dollars. College football is $1 billion industry. And whenever a player try to make their luck come up, the player get fucked up. It's a fucked up system out here. And that's why I encourage players when they get to the pros, be a mercenary. Hell, when you're a college football player, a college athlete, get what you can. Be smart about it, but get what you can. Don't be greedy. Don't fuck yourself up, but get what you can. Because, hell, they getting all they can up out of you. They getting the butter out the duck out your ass. So don't be no damn fool. Don't put yourself in no crazy-ass position where you fuck your whole life up. But don't be no fool. Don't be no hoe. We got these big, strong athletes who being whored out. For pennies. They being whores for pennies. We got to start looking at that black community. Because we love to funnel our children into, especially football. We love to funnel our kids into that shit, man. That little man going to save the family. Why your old ass going to save the family? Right. I ain't mad at them players, but I'm pissed at the system. Fuck the system. Players wouldn't be having to sell paraphernalia and all that stuff there if they had the right to earn and do all these other things to get money. Y'all can earn off their likeness in their name, but they can't. Alright. Sound like slavery to me. Sharecropping, whatever you want to call it. Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. I just wanted to add that part. Alright, time for some off-topic shit. I found this to be interesting, so I said, I'm going to talk about it. I was going to rant about my personal life, but I said, no, I'm going to talk about Azalea Banks going off on Nick Cannon. I know y'all probably want to hear me rant about my personal life, and I probably will before the show over with, but, you know. So, Azalea Banks is going off on Nick Cannon and wilding out after she appeared on the show claiming that they were mean to her and that they called her ugly and was being colorist. Or colorism was in play. So, on Sunday, July 15th, Azalea Banks blasted the folks at Nick Cannon's show while not at the claim that she was shamed for her complexion during a taping of the show. Cannon has now responded to claims made of his crew. As previously reported, Banks hopped on Instagram and recounted her visit to the show, which didn't turn out like she expected. I did wildin' out today. There were tons of pre-planned colorist jokes, and of course, Cry Baby Cry. She captioned a photo from the set. Some little scrawny black Atlanta twink was prepared for me. They planned this hit me on short notice, told me I didn't have to participate in the coon-ass freestyle battle. It's not my style. And I was too sing my song and go home. This is what she said. She added some name-calling of her own while further recounting the situation. I show up to some guys who's darker than me starts calling me ugly and being colorist. Then all of a sudden, a cry of the most disgustingly basic local cattle call urban pseudo comedic fat because you sit in the chair all day, greasy soul food induced. Soul of the Mason Dixon self hated, she added. Hashtag backwards, post Jim Crow, post traumatic slave disorder, true self esteemless, ward of the state clowns with their low scale and highly unimpressive resume start going off about how the beautiful Azalea Banks looks. I never felt so much hate and rage for anyone else than I did in that moment. Yemi Yai was really on stage. I have no idea who wrote this, or I know what they talk about. They talking about Azalea Banks going on stage, but they call her Yemi Yai. Let me keep reading. Cannon has caught wind of the claims and responded on IG, captioning a screenshot from Banks' Instagram story, where she questioned if she resorted to making fun of Nick having a disorder, she would be wrong. Nick wrote, "Don't you hate when you create your own storms but forget your umbrella? At Azalea Banks, we're praying for you, Queens. Hashtag speedy recovery, hashtag healing, hashtag she, Wild and Not for real, hashtag karma." The format for the Wild and Not shows pits teams against each other. All right, so y'all know what Wild and Not is. Go on Wild and Not. Anybody who go on Wild and Not, they're going to let your ass have it, basically. But let's reverse this before we get to Wild and Not. Azalea Banks is, because I was having a conversation with somebody the other day. I know Azalea Banks from controversy, not her music. So apparently she's an artist. She is an artist. Now, Azalea Banks, I watched a movie with her, Jill Scott. She did real good in that movie. Her, Jill Scott, Common, and the British dude. She did real good in the movie. She looked good in that movie. Azalea Banks is a nice-looking young lady. So, first of all, she shouldn't even be mad at somebody calling her ugly. Now, Azalea Banks got issues. Azalea Banks is another. She's a dark-skinned woman who still has issues about her complexion. Maybe, I guess, when she was cracked on a lot growing up. So she was a dark-skinned girl that has issues about her complexion. Now, let's just be real, though. She always do start shit with people. Azalea Banks, like I said, we know her. I know her more from controversy than her music. I tried to listen to her music a little while ago. It just wasn't my style. It just wasn't my taste. But I'm going to go back and try to listen to it again a little later. But the music she had just wasn't my style. It just wasn't my taste. It ain't no big deal. Whatever. I'm not going to say the music good or bad. It just wasn't my style, my taste. But Azalea Banks is known for causing trouble. She is known for calling people out, fucking with people, talking shit, and all that stuff there. And you go on Wildin' Out, you know what Wildin' Out is. They're going to let your ass have it. Hell, the dude that worked on the show, Emmanuel Hudson, they always talk about he gay. Like, whoever it is on the show, they're going to let your ass have it. They let Nick Cannon have it about Mariah Carey for like 3 years. Like, they don't hold back. Wild, you know what Wild or Not is. Wild or Not is the same thing as, like, if you go on All Deaf Digital and you go on the Roast Me, they going to let your motherfucking ass have it. Like, on the Roast Me, they let the wheelchair dude have it. But the thing about the dude in the wheelchair is he had his jokes ready. And he had some of the best jokes, so he was ready. So Azalea Banks is acting crazy. Let's just be real, call it what it is. Azalea Banks knew the fuck what she was getting into. You know what she was getting into. And when people are cracking jokes, they're going to talk about whatever. And you can take, like, old colorism, whatever. Like, you're not the first dark-skinned girl to go on there. You're not the first dark-skinned girl to be called ugly. You're not the first dark-skinned girl to have be cracked on about being dark-skinned. It's a cracking competition. They're going in there. They're talking about your ass. It's a roasting competition. They're talking about motherfuckers. That's what they do. It's all about the jokes. You should understand what you're getting into. But you're turning this into something that's bigger than what it is. They had no intentions of ambushing you. Why would they ambush you, Azalea Banks? What would be the purpose of Wildin' Out ambushing you? That's what I don't get. Like, what are you going, what are you trying to prove with this? But Azalea Banks, I just saw an interview of her just not too long ago, her just admitting to, she just like to start shit with people. And because she, like, follow her, like, keep up with her. If it's something that's on her mind, she's going to say it no matter who or what, why, where, when, and all these things there. But it's just like, I hate when people, like Nick Cannon said, she's a shit starter. I hate when people are a shit starter. Then you go into an environment and around where you know what you're getting yourself into. You know it go down to Wild or Not. If they ever invite me on Wild or Not, I'm bringing my bags of jokes and I'm ready to crack on motherfuckers from the beginning to the end. But what I'm not going to do is, because my jokes ain't that good and they getting on my ass, I'm going to get mad. Oh, my God, that being colors and all these things said, man, look here. We understand dark-skinned women don't have a fair shape. We understand that. We understand that black women, period, don't have a fair shape. But what we're not going to do is try to use that to say that, oh, man, they trying to shame me. They trying to talk about me and calling me ugly and all these things. Hey, look here, man. They are jokes. They cracking on people. They talking about people. They there to hurt feelings. You got to understand what you're getting yourself into. But at the same time, you got to toughen your goddamn ass up. You can't be the person who always starting shit. And then when somebody say something about you, you go into meltdown mode. You're a brat. Stop acting like a brat. And people shouldn't know you more for your controversy than your music. That's all I'm going to say. All right, moving on. Back on topic. We're back on topic. Charles Oakley, OG Charles Oakley, was arrested in Vegas. Right? He was accused of committing fraudulent acts. So, former New York Knicks big man Charles Oakley was arrested in Las Vegas on Sunday for committing or attempting to commit a fraudulent act in a gambling establishment, the Nevada Gaming Control Board said in a statement provided to ESPN on Thursday. Oakley was arrested by Nevada Gaming Control Board enforcement agents at the Cosmopolitan of Las Vegas. He was suspected of adding to or reducing his wager on a gambling game after the outcome was known, according to the board. Further details of the incident were not made available, but TMZ reported that Oakley pulled back a $100 chip after he realized he was going to lose his wage. Oakley was booked into the Clark County Detention Center without incident, the board said. He is scheduled to appear in court on August 7th. The violation is considered a Class B felony. If convicted of a first offense, the violator is subject to a sentence of 1 to 6 years in a state prison and a fine of no more than $10,000. This is not a significant matter, and we expect it to be resolved quickly, Alex Spiro, Oakley's New York-based attorney, told ESPN. Oakley is 54, played 19 seasons in the NBA. I didn't know he played that long. But in the NBA, most notably as a key contributor to the Knicks over 10 seasons, Oakley has an active civil suit against Madison Square Garden and the Knicks over owner James Dolan following his February 2017 forced removal from the arena by security and subsequent arrest. Oakley was charged with misdemeanor assault and trespassing, among other charges. You know how they always like try to name all these other things. I'm just reading with my crazy ass. But damn, Oak Dog, keep your head up, Oak Dog. You got to do better, Oak Dog. You old, Oak Dog. You old. All the gangsters, all the little fake gangster stuff, you old, Oak Dog. We know what real gangsters are nowadays. And we know the black community don't have any real gangsters. If the black community had real G's, white people wouldn't mess with us the way they do, and George Zimmerman would not still be walking freely around. So we know ain't no real gangsters in the black community. As far as that gangster, shoot 'em up, bang, 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 bang stuff, we know that. I ain't saying you saying that you'll shoot 'em up, bang, 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 gangster, but you know what the rules is when you go into these casinos. Oak Dog, come on, Oak Dog. Don't give these white folk a reason to mess with you, man. Don't give these white folk a reason to throw you behind bars and take your money out your pocket and mess your life up. Come on, Oak Dog. He and his mugshot picture looking like he want to fight. Like, I'll beat your motherfucking ass. That would look like in the mugshot picture. But come on, Oak Dog, you got to do better, man. You got to do better. There it is. So, Let's move on. One of the favorite running backs I used to like to watch, Thomas Jones, who is now Thomas Q. Jones, the actor. And he is now, I'm going to read this in my thespian voice, because he is now a part of the Luke Cage ensemble or cast, whatever you would like to call it. Former Chiefs, Jets and Bears running back Thomas Jones has an expanded role in the new season of Marvel's Netflix series Luke Cage. And this is his tweet. Y'all ain't ready for Shays and Comanche. And that, I guess that's the parts he play. So I ain't really been watching Luke Cage. So this says minor spoilers ahead. So if you're a Luke Cage watcher, there's some minor spoilers in this. Jones first appeared in season one of the hit Marvel series on Netflix as the villainous Comanche. He was primarily featured in flashbacks to the titular hero's time spent in prison, and he didn't get much more screen screen time than that. However, his role was actually instrumental in Luke Cage getting his superpowers. In the second season, Jones' character, Comanche, is getting thrown into a spotlight right away with Shades, who was a villain heavily featured in season one. I'm told the latest season is full of twists, turns, and so far is grading out as one of the best second seasons to a Marvel Netflix series. Jones' character, Comanche, isn't quite his comic book iteration that was an archer with trick arrows, but maybe as the season progresses, we'll get some of the callbacks to that version of the character. Needless to say, Jones is definitely beginning to build a good resume as far as acting is concerned. His expanded role in Luke Cage should give him some looks for large television and film roles in the future. In his time with the Chiefs, Jones recorded over 1,200 rushing yards and 6 touchdowns. I don't know why they put that in there. I have no idea why they put that in there. But Thomas Jones was a great running back. He was a very good running back, a solid running back. You can count on Thomas Jones to get you 1,000 yards a season. Thomas Jones was one of the last running backs. And I think I probably had this conversation with somebody when Thomas Jones was still playing. But Thomas Jones was one of the last running backs in the NFL who could be a primary running back, play the primary role, carry the ball 20, 25 times a game, maybe 30 times a game if need be, and get you at least 1,000 yards a season. He was one of the last running backs of that before the changing of the guard and started doing the dual running back systems and things like that. But shout out to Thomas Jones for being able to transition to life after sports. And that's a big thing. Like, a lot of athletes cannot transition to life after sports. And because they can't transition to life after sports, they find themselves having issues which could lead to biological and mental health issues and all other types of issues, dependency issues, drug problems and things. And just societal coping and adjusting issues because people, athletes are not taught to adjust to life after football. And I think that's sad. They should be taught how to adjust to life after football. You're not going to play football long. You're going to play football until your mid to maybe late 30s. Probably the average football player, you're going to be done in your 20s. They need to be learning how to adjust to life after football. Parents, all you parents listening, you got young kids playing sports. Start teaching your child now about things outside of football. There's life outside of football. Because after they don't play football or any of these sports no more, they have to learn how to transition. So shout out to Thomas Jones for finding a way to transition, finding the passion and using it. Acting, good. He is now Thomas Q. Jones of the Luke Cage series, and his character is Comanche. So I'm going to have to go watch Luke Cage. I don't really watch Luke Cage like that, but I'm going to have to go watch Luke Cage and stuff like that. So check out Thomas Q. Jones. All right. So LeBron James murals are being created and in Los Angeles. And when the murals get put up in Los Angeles, they are vandalized by these overzealous Laker fans / Kobe fans, people who feel threatened, people who feel like, well, LeBron can't do this, yeah. And so whatever with the murals and however the artist, I just think it's gay. I think it's stupid to be so caught up. See, that's what I'm talking about fandom. It's stupid to be so caught up as a fan that you'll see a mural, an artistic rendering, and you'll be mad that, oh, they disrespecting this and they disrespecting that. Because somebody put up the mural that had the King of L.A., they defaced that, you know. And, you know, come on, man, we know LeBron running the show in L.A. now. So now the new mural is of LeBron looking up to, like, Kobe, Magic, Jerry West, Shaq, Kareem, and Wilt and stuff like that. So this person had, like, these people who are making these murals had to basically change the murals to appease the stupid fans. Yes, I said the stupid fans in L.A. But come on, man. Y'all need to get a life. You don't like the mural, so what? Close your eyes when you ride by. Well, you ain't got to destroy somebody's work because you feel like it's disrespectful to whatever, man. It ain't about tripping. That shit ain't that serious. It ain't that hard, man. It really ain't that serious. let me read this. Fans of LeBron's as a member of the Lakers just can't seem to catch a break. For the second time, an artist in the Los Angeles area has created a mural to honor James joining the Lakers only to see the work get vandalized. The most recent attempt had James donning a Lakers jersey looking up to multiple L.A. Lakers greats. Latest LeBron mural meant to represent the type of history he was joining and that he was yet to stand with the other Lakers legends. That's bullshit. LeBron James can't stand the Lakers legends. He just hasn't done it in the Lakers uniform. But let's just be real. LeBron James is a legend. Let's stop the bullshit. The Vandals, apparently anti-LeBron for whatever reason, decided to deface the mural, which originally looked like this. And so, basically, it's LeBron looking up to, like I said, Kobe, Shaq, Magic, Kareem, and Wilt. Like, that's the original rendering, and somebody defaced that. And somebody also defaced the one that said LeBron, King of L.A. See, there's some pussy-ass fans. Man, y'all need to grow the fuck up, man. Y'all need to stop that dumb shit and grow the fuck up, man. Ain't nobody got time for that shit, man. Ain't nobody got time for whole shit, bullshit, like, gay shit, like, fuck shit. Like, not gay as in bad, but just fuck shit. Like, I don't care how you feel about that. Don't mess with nobody's stuff. It's just like nobody's coming to your job or your whatever you doing. Like, imagine me. I don't like your house, so I'm going to get a bulldozer and just run over your motherfucking house. I don't like your car, so I'm going to steal your car and take it to the chop shop. I don't like your wife, so I'm going to slap her in the face, right? Like, you can't just go around doing stuff like that. Everything that I just named seems stupid. But somebody saying, hey, I see a mural and I don't like it. I'm personally have this feeling, and this feeling makes me gets me to a point to where I think I need to deface somebody's art. You's a bitch. You need to get a life. It's not that fucking serious. Kobe don't know you or like your ass. Jerry West don't know you or like your ass. Shaq don't know you or like you. Magic don't know you or like you. Kareem don't know you or like you. Wilt don't know you or like you. And LeBron don't know you or like you. The people of the LA organization don't know you or like y'all. Y'all people need to stop this extra fanatical dumb bullshit. Like, it's not cool. It's not cute. It's not helping you become your best version of yourself as a human being. Right? It's making you all look stupid. It's making you all look like hoes. I'm going to deface the mural because I feel it's disrespectful. Your life is disrespectful. How about that? Your whole existence is disrespectful. You need to get a life. You need a friend. You need a hug. You need to go to counseling. You need to find something outside of this dumb shit that makes you feel like you got so mad. Like, what type of hoe are you that you get so mad that I'm going to deface this mural because you didn't make it to where it makes me feel good, so I'm going to deface it and I'm going to tear it up and make it bad. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Your whole family should be ashamed of your existence. Because I got one over on you. I win. I defaced your mural. The world is going to bend to my will, or I'm going to paint over whatever doesn't go my way. Man, fuck out of here, man. You was a lame. Some of the lamest shit I've ever seen. Over sports. And people who don't even know you and like you. Over sports, for real? It's sports. It's basketball. It's basketball. You don't even play. Nobody give a fuck how you feel. You don't even play. You crazy, man. Y'all crazy. Y'all people crazy, man. That's one of the problems with America. We produce psychopathic motherfuckers. Wow. Over a mural. You get so mad over a mural that you decide that you're going to deface it. Just tell the world how bitch made you are, huh? Hey, everybody. I'm a bitch. Fuck out of here. So that was my pre-rant warm-up. Now it's time for this weekly rant. And this weekly rant is definitely aimed at the Miami Dolphins. So let me catch you up on what's going on with this NFL anthem policy. Right. The NFL and NFL Players Association announced in a joint statement Thursday that league and team policies regarding conduct during the playing of the national anthem will not be issued or enforced for several weeks as part of the standstill agreement between the two sides. The source informed of the situation told NFL Network's Tom Pesserio that everything connected to the league and club policies on the anthem will remain on hold as discussions between the NFL and the union play out. So this is a statement from the NFLPA. The NFL and the NFLPA, through recent discussions, have been working on a resolution to the anthem issue. In order to allow this constructive dialogue to continue, we have come to a standstill agreement on the NFLPA's grievance and on the NFL's anthem policy. No new rules relating to the anthem will be issued or enforced for the next several weeks while these confidential discussions are going on. The NFL and NFLPA reflect the great values of America, which are repeatedly demonstrated by the many players doing extraordinary work in communities across our country to promote equality, fairness, and justice. Our shared focus will remain on finding a solution to the anthem issue through mutual good faith commitments outside of litigation. Man, the anthem thing ain't no issue unless you're racist, right? So the development comes after a Miami Dolphins source told the NFL Network Ian Rappaport that the NFL was requiring every team to submit conduct rules for the national anthem before players reported to training camp. The Dolphins had already submitted their plan to the league since their rookies reported to the training camp Wednesday, Rappaport reported. The Associated Press reported Thursday the Dolphins players who protested on the field during the national anthem could be suspended for up to four games under a team policy issued this week. The AP added that the Dolphins' anthem conduct policy was under a large list of conduct detrimental to the team. Wow. taking the knee on the national anthem is conduct detrimental to the team. That policy remains on hold under the standstill agreement, which comes after the NFLPA filed a grievance on July 10th. In its grievance, the union stated, among other things, that the policy infringes on player rights. Under the collective bargaining agreement, the maximum discipline for conduct detrimental to the club is a week's salary or suspension up to four games. A source informed of the situation told NFL Network's Michael Silver, however, it is unrealistic that any player would be suspended four games for kneeling during the anthem policy if the policy was enforced. And the NFL approved a new national anthem policy in May, requiring players and league personnel on the sideline to stand. Players and personnel also have the option to remain in the locker room if they don't choose to stand. Individual clubs also have the power to seek their own policies to ensure the anthem is being respected during any on-the-field altercation. If a player chooses to protest on the sideline of the NFL, NFL will fine the team. Players could also be fined by their teams per the policy. So, Miami Dolphins decide that they're just going to go ahead and jump out and say, hey, man, you can be suspended for up to four games if you decide to make any demonstration during the national anthem. Crack of shit. This is what happens when you limit yourself to only being able to play in crackers systems. They're going to tell you what you can and can't do. Hey, we don't like that you Negroes protest national anthem. Now, you can sexually assault a woman. You can rape a woman. You can beat a woman ass. You can kill people. Like, you can be a career criminal in the NFL and get less time suspension. You could be a drug addict and get less time suspension or get less punishment in the NFL. But you cannot take a stand against racism in the NFL unless your career would be ended. The Miami Dolphins, Dallas Cowboys, all these teams have showed their hands. The NFL's owners are some fuckboys, and they're racist. Even the Jaguars owner, his dumb ass is racist too. They don't like black people. The NFL's owners don't like black people. Legit, they don't give a shit about black people. They don't give a shit about our condition. They don't give a shit about what's going on to us. They're among the people who believe that black people just be talking. Black people just be lying. We just complaining about what's going on, and that's all we're doing is complaining. Even though we have mountains and mountains and mountains and mountains of information to prove that we are under a system of racism and oppression. It's systemic. Everybody knows it's systemic. Everybody who's smart, who can read, knows it's systemic. But the Miami Dolphins decided that they're going to jump out and say, hey, well, if you, we're going to submit this in our conduct detrimental to our team, that if you make a demonstration for the national anthem, that you will be suspended like 4 games. Now, remind you, Jameis Winston getting suspended 3 games for admitting, for basically apologizing and partially admitting to grabbing a woman's vagina. I'm just saying. But that shouldn't even, this anthem thing shouldn't even be where it is, but this is what happens, especially media-wise, because, like I keep telling you, it was unorganized from the beginning. Cap jumped out there, but Cap should have been more organized in him jumping out there. That's how everything got co-opted, and that's how we are where we are now. That's how Eric Reed don't have a job. Eric, the safety, former safety for the San Francisco 49ers, Eric Reed, who has, since the second week, after because Cap surprised everybody the first week, but since the second week, Eric Reed has been with Cap, kneeling with him, and even last year when Cap wasn't playing, Eric Reed was still doing it. Now Eric Reed became a free agent, and Eric Reed has no job as of right now. And please, to say Eric Reed shouldn't have a job is bullshit. You can't come up with a great excuse, the same ones they use for Kaepernick. But this is about, this whole anthem thing is about these white folk clamping down and making sure that they secure these white dollars that they keep coming in, because the racist white folk who watch the NFL already told them, these zealots already told them that, hey, as long as y'all letting these niggas free range and all this stuff here, and we ain't giving y'all our crack of money. So y'all can have your niggas and run around on these fields and all these things here, but you're not going to get my crack of money. That's what they're telling them. That's what they're telling them. And the NFL is doing what it needs to do, the curl, to appease their fellow white supremacists. You see what they try to do based off of Trump's comments and that shit, and they didn't even work, and Trump got back on their ass telling them how fucked up they are, how stupid they are. But, oh, you Miami Dolphins. That's why, this is one of the reasons why the Dolphins are not going to win the division again. This is another reason why the Miami Dolphins just, they franchise just in turmoil. Y'all ain't been good. You ain't had a good quarterback since Dan Marino. You traded Jay Ajayi to the Eagles, and he went and won the Super Bowl, you dumbasses. The Dolphins just suck. Now, that's a fucked up franchise, a tacky franchise. At least the Cowboys are not winning, but still are the most valuable sports franchise in sports. But the Dolphins, y'all just hot garbage. And I'm going to go ahead and say it. I'm glad y'all going to lose the division again. I'm glad that y'all going to, you know, not be good again. I hope y'all be sub-500 team again. I mean, for this dumb shit, I mean, it's a lot of teams, too. Cowboys, the only reason I don't want the Cowboys to go sub 500, you know, that's my squad and all, but Cowboys about that fuck shit, too. So, all you racist motherfuckers can kiss my ass. That's just where I'm at with this and this anthem thing. And because I'm even listening to ESPN Radio the other day, and this white dude talking about this, and he's like, I'm an anthem guy. I'm an anthem guy. I'm one of the guys who believe that the flag shouldn't be disrespected. Then you had this cracker call in talking about, then it comes down and nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about come down to them disrespecting the flag. Like, how many times? Because these white folk have to be either they're incompetent or they just, their organization is just on point. Because they're constantly talking about how it's about the disrespect of the flag and the military. Even if it was, who gives a shit? Black people, when America gained its freedom, when the national anthem was penned, when that flag was created, black people were slaves. Slavery was still legal in America. Slavery was still the primary means of economic development in America. I don't give a fuck about how y'all white folk feel about how we feel about the flag. Even if it is about the disrespect of the flag and the anthem, so what? Black people were enslaved during the time when America was talking about all this freedom stuff. You got this. How do you have this rhetoric on one end about freedom, justice, liberty, and all these things here while you are enslaving people? But that's the extent of white supremacy. Don't get all emotional with these white folk. Remember, like when it's like in martial arts when they're teaching you, you're not gonna be a good fighter if you're fighting mad. So you got to stay under control. So we're going to fight, but we're going to fight back, and we're going to stay under control. We're not going to let these folks get us mad and get us all riled up and have our heads all willy-nilly and all these things. But we know what's going on. We know what they're doing. They're piling on. What they're trying to do is make sure they further suppress this message of the movement or the kneeling of the anthem. They want to further suppress it, and they want to send messages to the people in the future to say that it's not an athlete's place to take a stand against things that they feel are going wrong in society. As long, well, if you are a black athlete and you want to take a stand to protest racial injustices, you can't do it. That's what they're trying to tell you. So future generations, y'all get ready to tell the NFL, NBA, NHL, all these other professional sports leagues to kiss y'all asses. Because you got to take a stand. It's your duty to take a stand. Guess what? Because some of y'all can act like y'all don't. It's not your duty, like the Michael Jordans and all those cats. But if the black athletes before you didn't take a stand, your black ass wouldn't be able to be like it is. You wouldn't be where you are today. Because I don't give a shit about none of that. It's your duty to take a stand. It's your duty as a black athlete, because motherfuckers died for you to just be able to simply exist. Simply exist. People got fucked up for you. There were people, there's some people whose whole lives were ruined taking the stand against injustice, real stands where their lives were put in harm's way. So you got a duty to take a stand. I don't give a fuck what these leagues say. Fuck the Dolphins and everybody else, the NFL and the NFLPA and everybody who's doing it wrong. Fuck them. Anybody who agreeing to this racist crack of shit, fuck them. It's your duty, black athletes, it's your duty to take a stand against racial and social injustices against black people. Fuck them. Fuck that flag, man. Fuck the anthem. Those things are not symbols of freedom, justice, and equality, none of that stuff for black people in America. How are those? It's hypocritical. Like America is the country that can see all injustices that happen except racial injustices. They can see other injustices, but they can't see racial injustices. Right? Like, let you say something that they deem derogatory against the LGBTQ community, and it's a fucking firestorm. But a black person can literally get shot dead for doing nothing by a white person on camera in front of everybody. And it's not an act of racism. It's not an act of terrorism, and the white person can get off. See, these are the things that Cap was taking the knee for. This is what Cap was taking the knee for. B, it was unorganized, but this is what it was taking the knee for. So you black folk, we're going to have to start making a decision, man. We got to start our own league. Fuck protesting the NFL. We have to start our own league. Protesting the NFL ain't good enough. We have to start our own league. And I'm going to stay on that perch of us getting together as a collective and starting our own league. Don't tell me we can't, because we can. If all you black people who listen to this and have the mindset of, well, we can't start our own league, that's because your ass ain't got no vision. That's because your ass ain't got no vision, you ain't got no faith in yourself, and you got low self-esteem for the group of people. So you mean to tell me all the black people in America, if we chose to work together, even just 10%, 5% of black people in America who got money, who can make things happen. If they work together, we could start our own league. You mean to tell me we can't? So we're brilliant. We're graduating all these numbers of people from college, but we can't manage to start a professional football league. Like, we got the highest numbers of degrees graduating, but we can't put our minds together to start our own shit. If you're telling me that, you crazy. Because until we do that, we're going to be complaining about these crackers doing this fuck shit. That's all I'm saying. Maybe y'all comfortable complaining. I'm not. Complaining ain't never fixed shit. It never has, and it never will. And that's just what it is, man. And that's my weekly rant, man. I'm Joseph Ward. This right here is the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast you have ever heard in your entire life, coming straight from the South, always going down, right here on the Freedom Train Network at www.freedomtrainradio.com. I appreciate y'all for listening in and rocking with me, and, you know, just showing the love, man. I appreciate all the love that y'all give me, man, from day one to now. All the love that y'all have been showing the Freedom Train Network from day one to now. Patrick and I started this network just because we wanted to give black community something different. And we appreciate y'all tuning in and helping us give black community something different. A true media medium that we can use for ourselves to empower our community. We appreciate that. Like I said, Fix Sports Podcast. I'm Joseph Ward. You know how we do. Two fingers in the air like you just don't care. As you know, I got to go out and hi-hat like a snare, if that even really makes sense, and it really don't, but I'm freestyling because I got to really go. Yeah. That's Grammy stuff right there.
I am the greatest.
I called the president. President, we need the National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
His heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm Finesse Floyd. There's no one that